Ask in Jesus' name. Mrs. Thompson had a tough task teaching her Sunday school the lesson for the day, which was about the Trinity. And teaching a class of young children that she had was a very challenging thing to try to impart to them the Trinity in a way that they might understand it. So she decided to get a pretzel, and she would tell the students that each hole in the pretzel represented one of the persons of the Trinity. And so she went through the particular explanation of the Trinity and talked about what it meant. And so she wanted the kids to kind of get this solidified in their minds. So she pointed to one of the holes and she said, "This hole is like God the Father." And then she pointed to another hole and said, "This hole is like God the Son." And she pointed to the third hole and said, "This hole is like God the Holy Ghost." And so as she had her students repeat this over and over again, she felt sure that most of them, all of them, really had understood what she was now teaching about the Trinity. And so she asked one of the students to describe what she had been teaching them. And so the student got up and he pointed, "This here is God the Father, and this here is Jesus the Son." And of course the teacher was really beaming by now, thinking, "Well, he's really got it." He got to the third hole and he said, "And this is the Holy Smoke." Well, children aren't the only ones that are confused about the Trinity. One of the blessings that we have this morning is that we have a lesson that really gives us an insight into the nature of God. Now, there's no way that we can fully comprehend how God can be a Trinity, how God can be one God and yet three in persons. And yet that's exactly how the Bible describes Him. The Bible describes God as one in essence and three in persons. The Bible says that the Father is God, the Son is God, and the Holy Spirit is God, and yet there's only one God. And so we either have a divine contradiction here, or we have a description of a God who is beyond description. And of course, as we seek to apprehend the Trinity, we can know what God says about the Trinity through His Word. We may not understand how that's possible, but the fact that God has chosen to reveal Himself in this way is something that helps us to not only know who God is, but also to better understand the nature of God. Now, if you'll get out your bulletins and turn to the gospel lesson for today, I want to start out with some words that should sound very familiar to you. It says, "In the beginning was the Word." Now, obviously, John had in mind the beginning of the Bible, back in the book of Genesis. Because back in the book of Genesis, we read, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." And so John wants to reiterate that he's going to be talking about God here. And so he says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He," that is the Word, "was with God in the beginning." And so we're told that there was God the Father who has existed from all eternity. And then we have God the Son, we have the Word, who existed from all eternity. Now, Jesus was not called Jesus from all eternity. He was, in fact, called the Word. He was the Word of God. You might remember in the book of Genesis, it says that God spoke and the limitless universe leapt into existence. That God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God said, "Let there be land," and there was land, and et cetera, et cetera. And so as God spoke, all these things came into existence. We see in the New Testament that Jesus was the vehicle through which all these were created. We also see that the Holy Spirit was involved in the creation as well. And so we have a picture of the divine Trinity involved in the very creation of the world. In our gospel lesson today, we have an image that Jesus Christ, as the Word, existed with the Father and the Holy Spirit from all eternity. Through Him all things were made, and without Him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and the life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Jesus Christ came to bring the light of God into the hearts of men and women. And as he brought that light, people's minds came alive and began to realize that there was someone beyond themselves to whom they were accountable, someone who has the ability to give them a new perspective on life and to give them a proper perspective by illuminating them through his light. There was a man sent from God, his name was John. Of course, that's John the Baptist. He came as a witness testifying concerning the light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light, but he came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He, the true light, Jesus Christ, was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. People had a hard time understanding that Jesus Christ had existed from all eternity, but now had put aside all the rights and privileges that went along with being God, and he humbled himself and became a human being. He took upon himself human form by being born in the womb of the Virgin Mary and grew up as a man on this earth. And so Jesus Christ did not stop being God when he came to this earth, but he put aside all the privileges of being God in order to relate to the Father as we are to relate to the Father. Jesus Christ humbled himself and reacted before the Father as if he was not equal to the Father. And he did so to show us how we are to live our lives in relationship with the Father. And so as Jesus lived out his life, he did all the things that he wants his followers to do while he was on this earth. And so as he did so, he showed us not only how we are to have a relationship with God the Father, but also how we are to humble ourselves before him. And so it says in verse 11, he came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or of the husband's will, but born of God. And so Jesus came first of all to the Jewish people. And the idea was that they were to receive him as their Savior. The prophets had been predicting that a Messiah would come for many, many years. And so when the Messiah actually did come, you would think that the people would rejoice, would receive him, and would embrace him as the Messiah. And we see that some, in fact, did so. But many others did not receive him, did not accept him as the Messiah, because he didn't fit their image of what a Messiah would be. The Messiah, they thought, would be a king who would come along and would ultimately marshal all the armies of Israel together to then overthrow the Roman government and to set up the kingdom of God. But since Jesus did not do that and was in fact crucified on the cross, people rejected him as the Messiah. But to all who did receive him, he gave the right to become a child of God. Now, to receive Christ means to invite him to come into one's heart as a Savior and as their Lord. And so to receive him means to invite him to come in and have a fellowship with you, to have a relationship with you. In the book of Revelation, we hear these words, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into them and have fellowship with them. I will eat with them." And so the invitation is that we are to invite Jesus to come into our lives, to come and be the Savior of our lives. He doesn't force his way into a person's life. He doesn't make himself their Savior. He comes by invitation only. But as many as received him, he gave the right to become a child of God. Now, sometimes you'll hear the idea spouted that people think that everyone is a child of God. But that is not the case. Everyone is made in the image of God, but not everyone is a child of God. You become a child of God by coming into a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And that relationship with God through Jesus Christ happens as we invite Christ to come in and transform our human spirits. And he does so by sending his Holy Spirit to come to live inside of us. As the Holy Spirit begins to transform our human spirits, The Holy Spirit makes us acceptable to God the Father by cleansing our sins through the sacrifice of Christ. And so as we have a relationship with God now, we become a child of God. And because we have a child of God, we have access to the Father. We can come to the Father with all of our needs and all of our concerns. We can bring our requests to Him. We can talk to God as if He was our actual Father. He is our Heavenly Father, and so we can speak to God because we have a relationship with God. We have permission to come to God through Jesus Christ. And so we read on in our gospel lesson, which says in verse 14, the Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. And so the Word came down to earth and became a human being born in the womb of the Virgin Mary. And as He made His dwelling among us, it says, we have seen the glory. The glory is of the one and only Son who comes from the Father, full of grace and truth. Of course, this was written by John, who saw Jesus glorified on the Mount of Transfiguration. And so he recognized that Jesus was, in fact, had come from God, and that God gave His imprimatur to Jesus on that holy mountain. And so he had seen the glory of God along with James and John, James and Peter. And as they saw the glory of God, they recognized that this is, in fact, the one that they had been looking for, the Messiah, who not only was a human being, but also was God Himself. So John testified concerning Jesus. This is the one I spoke about. And John came to bear witness to the light. He came to prepare the way of the Lord, as we know. And John also described Jesus as the one who would come to them through grace and truth. The law was given through Moses, and grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is Himself God, as in closest relationship with the Father, has made Him known. It used to be that in the Old Testament, if a person saw God, they would die. But Jesus Christ made it possible for us to see God by looking at Him. He who has seen me has seen the Father, Jesus said. And so as we look at Jesus Christ, we recognize that He is a reflection of the Father. He's not the Father, but He's a reflection of the Father. And so that we now can know what God is like by looking at Jesus Christ. All these things describe the relationship that Jesus had with the Father. And that is that He existed with the Father from all eternity, along with the Holy Spirit. That's why we can say that the Trinity is one God, and yet three in persons. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, co-equal and co-eternal. As we describe God in this way, really describing a God that has revealed Himself to us, who is incomprehensible, and yet a God who has chosen to let us know what He is like, so that we know that we are believing in a God not of our own creation, but of a God beyond our understanding. That's why it's important and easy for me to believe in the God of the Bible, because the God that is revealed in the Bible is different from a God that I might create. I might create a God that is a giant man on a big throne with a great white beard. But the God that's described in the Bible is spirit. John chapter 4 says, God is spirit, and those that worship Him must worship in spirit and in truth. And so as we look at this description of the Trinity, we see that the Father is God, the Son is God, and the Holy Spirit is God. And yet, one person of the Trinity came to this earth to become the Savior of the world. And all who received Him, He gave the right to become children of God. Children not just born naturally, but children that were born spiritually. That's why we talk about being born again, because we are spiritually reborn by the Holy Spirit coming to live inside of us. All of those things are descriptions of what the whole purpose of Christ coming into this world is all about. He came not just to make a way for us to get to heaven, but also a way for us to fulfill the law. We couldn't keep the law in our own strength and our own power. We could only keep the law by the help of the Holy Spirit. But ultimately, even with the Holy Spirit's help, we're going to fail at keeping the law at some point. Which is why it's important for us to put our trust in Jesus Christ. Because when we do that, we receive His righteousness, we're then able to have a relationship with God and have a home in heaven and have the forgiveness of our sins. All of those things happen because God loved us so much that he was willing to send his only Son into the world, that all who believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. Let us pray. Father, we thank you that you've revealed yourself to us as a Trinity. You've revealed the Son to us. You revealed the Holy Spirit to us. And together with the other two, the three of you make up the divine Trinity that we worship as the one God. Lord, help us to not only recognize that you are the true God, but you sent the light, your light into this world so that we can not walk in the darkness of our sins any longer, but walk in the true light of your grace. Lord, help us, once we know this reality, to then feel that desire and that urge and that direction by your Spirit to help others to come to know you as you have been revealed to us in the pages of Scripture. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.